And God, I missed out on just being in your presence. Lord, let that not happen today. Those that are here that have been worshiping, Lord, help us to remove everything and enjoy being in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to Crossroads Church. Week 3 of Shipwrecked, and before I get into that, I want to tell you about a couple things that are going on. September 10th is what Sunday? Friend and Family Sunday. And what? I know you got friends and family, all right? I've seen some of your families, all right? And I went back on Facebook, and some of y'all, like if we counted all your friends up, like we'd have 10,000 friends represented, okay? Now, we can't get 10,000 in here, all right? But we're planning on finding out what we can get, all right? So September 10th, Friend and Family Sunday, please invite your friends and family. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. If you invite them in August for something in September, they'll probably say yes. But if you wait until September 8th, something will be coming up on their calendar. So do it now. It's a strategy, I know, but just trust me, it works. All right? You say, hey, September 10th, would you come to church with me? You know, or are you doing anything on September 10th? And what you'll find out is that I think that your friends and family want to join you. And September 10th is going to be an incredible day. And when you go out in the foyer, you'll see that we've got 3 new t-shirts for the church here. And the one I want you to pay attention to is the orange one. Not because orange is my favorite color, although it is. The orange one is about serving. And on Friend Day, if you'll be here serving, I want you to be wearing one of these t-shirts. Because I think it's a testimony, and I think it'll be a testimony for our church for the next 6 months as we wear them around town and just let people know that we here at Crossroads Church want to serve. I want to serve you, and I want to serve everybody that's driving along the highway. Oh, all right, so week 3 of Shipwrecked. And if you are technically savvy, I would encourage you to open up your smart device, find the Bible app or the YouVersion app, and if you look under events, you'll see Crossroads Church there, and you'll also see the notes for today's sermon, and you can save that and go back and check things out. You can either watch the video again later this week, but you'd have the very notes that I have that I'm sharing with you. This series, Shipwrecked, I have been using a verse out of 1 Timothy, and it says this, holding onto faith and a good conscience. And the reason why this is important is because some have rejected it, and they have suffered shipwreck. How'd they suffer shipwreck? With regard to their faith. You know what I'm talking about. There may have been a time in your life where you were shipwrecked in your faith. You had been going along for years and everything was fine, and then all of a sudden it seemed like, where's God? You hear about this online and on anything that's putting out information. You'll hear somebody who is well-known Christian, and it says that they deconstructed their faith. That's just a fancy word for apostasy. They didn't get smarter. They turn their back on the very scriptures. And the next verse reminds me of the lyrics of a song. I want to read these lyrics to you. Ray Stevens wrote a song called The Mississippi Squirrel Revival. All right, beautiful song, beautiful theology in here. And so let me just read one of the verses. It says, you know, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. The squirrel's inside his pants, if you haven't figured that out. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. Said he fell to his knees to plead and beg, and that squirrel ran out of his britches leg, unobserved, to the other side of the room. All the way down to the Amen pew where sat Sister Bertha better than you. Don't point any fingers. Thank goodness there's no Berthas in here. I pray that today there's no visiting Berthas. Who'd been watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. You should have seen the look in her eyes when that squirrel jumped her garters and crossed her thighs, and she jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." As that squirrel made laughs inside her dress, she began to cry and then to confess to sins that would make a sailor blush with shame. She told of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention was when she talked about her love life, and then she started naming names. Well, today, Paul is going to name names, and in verse 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan." And the reality is this, all of the things that I've been talking about for the last 6 weeks, these aren't nameless people. When I talk about someone being shipwrecked in their faith, this isn't a nameless person. And sometimes it's the name when you look in the mirror. And as your pastor, I don't want that to happen. I don't want you to be shipwrecked. And if you are shipwrecked, I want to help you get that boat back out into the water. We'll turn over to another passage. I'm going to share with you two mistakes that people who are shipwrecked in their faith make. And the first mistake is this. They confuse godliness with gain. They confuse godliness with getting stuff from God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3, it says, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness," and let me let you know, there are many preachers, there are many who proclaim to be a preacher of the Word of God, and they don't agree with what the Bible says. From those, run, avoid them, stay away from them. It says, "He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy, for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, and evil suspensions." Here in this church, we saw this manifest itself a year ago. "And constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain." And the truth is that many people come to church for what they can get from God. It's the reality. It's hard medicine. It's the truth. But let me share with you a story that Jesus experienced, because he experienced people just like that. John chapter 6. Verse 25, it says, "When they found him on the other side of the sea..." Now, why were they looking for him? Because he had just fed 5,000. He had just fed 5,000 with two fishes and a couple pieces of bread. His disciples were amazed. All of the people who got to eat and watch that miracle happen were amazed. And then his disciples got into a boat, and it was a crazy storm. And who came walking up to them on the water? Jesus. Peter got to experience the faith of Jesus as he walked on the water. And here the next day, the crowd's looking for him. They realize that they're on the other side. They go to the other side. And as they're looking for him here in verse 25, and they find him, and they said, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Because they saw the boat with the disciples leave, but they never saw any other boat. Disciples had a story to tell, didn't they? And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." And I want you to know that it happens in Crossroads Church every week. It happens in churches all across this country, that people come back to church because of what they experienced the week before. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I want you to have an encounter with God. We're about to go through a series called Experiencing God, and my expectation is that you experience God on a level that you've never experienced Him before. But the reality is, and Jesus says it this way, do not work for the food that perishes. Don't come to God for the miracle. Don't come to God for the job. Don't come to God to restore the relationship. Don't come to God just to see your children make it. That's not why he wants you here. He wants you here because of you, because of your soul. He wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. Not see crazy answers to prayer here on earth, although he'll do that. I've seen God answer crazy prayers. And I still pray crazy prayers. But that's not what Sunday morning's all about. That's not why we come to God. He says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set a seal. Oh, this is powerful, church. Your eternal soul's destination is what's on the line. And see, there's some people like Hymenaeus and Alexander, and they come to God, and they come only for what they can get. They come only because they expect to have profit. They expect something good to happen to them as being close to God or experiencing what we call godliness. And the reality is that may not always be the case. Mistake number two that those who are shipwrecked in their faith make is this, that they confuse godliness with what's on the outward appearance. Now, I almost did this morning. I was going to set up a mannequin and have them dressed up and sit them in one of the chairs. But I figured, you know what, if I do that, there's going to be this big circle, you know, of no chairs filled, and y'all wouldn't embrace this with me and sit beside the mannequin. But the truth is that every Sunday you come in here and you sit beside a mannequin. Now, ladies, this is not the time to nudge the guy beside you, you know, and wake him up. Let him sleep right now. It's okay. All right? They can go back and watch the video and get it all. But we mistake godliness with an outward appearance. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Church, just because you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, because you've experienced the forgiveness of those sins, does not mean life is going to be happily ever after. All right? Those are in books that you quit reading when you were 8 years old. All right? I don't see the happily ever after until Jesus Christ comes back. I don't see the happily ever after until you take your last breath in this body. What it says is there's going to be difficulty. Expect it. Understand this. For people will be lovers of the self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. It's not talking about the people out at the lake today. It's talking about people inside the churches right now, all across Centralia, all across the state of Illinois, all across the world. That's what they're like in the church. Yes. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And church, I don't want you to experience living a life where you have an appearance of godliness, where you look like a Christian, but there's no evidence beyond sitting here. You know, a lot of times we get caught up with how somebody dresses when they come to church, how big their Bible is, how marked up their Bible is. And we miss the power that comes through the Word of God in our lives. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. having the form of godliness, looking like a Christian, but you don't see God's power in your life. Oh, what does God's power in your life looks like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like when you're with a friend who needs to hear the gospel and the Lord prompts you what to say and you don't say it. That's denying the power thereof. It's when somebody, a relative or somebody that's sick and you have an opportunity to pray with them, to call on the great physician, and instead of you doing that, you say, hey, let's go to church and Pastor Ronnie will pray with you. Oh, I'll do it all day long. But you're denying the power that God has put on you to be able to pray with them for the same healing. The same God answers that prayer. There's nothing special. You see, we have a church full of people who have the appearance of godliness, but we deny the power. We have the appearance of godliness. We sing praises. We're moved to tears. And by Tuesday, you are cussing a blue streak because of somebody in your family or at work. The Bible says, how can sweet water and bitter water come from the same mouth? It can't. It cannot. It continues there in 2 Timothy. And it says, for among them are those who creep into households and they capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Crossroads, let's not have that be said of us, that we're always trying to learn and yet we never ever experience the power of God in our life. I want you to experience God's power in your life. But here's the reality, that if you won't be obedient to God, you'll never see that. You'll just keep going down and hitting that same wall and you wonder, you know, who put that wall there again? You'll keep falling into the same sin. And you'll wonder, will God forgive me this time? And 1 John 1:9 says, yes, he will. And at some point in our lives, we'll stop falling into sins. We'll stop chasing all these other things. And maybe, just maybe, we'll decide to have a relationship with God. Not a relationship that's based on what he'll do for us, but a relationship that is based on his love for us. Let me read you a letter out of the Bible. It's the book of Jude. All right? It's a one chapter book. So I'm going to read the whole book to you. All right? So don't get worried. It's one chapter. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Well, you know who James was the brother of? Jesus. So here is Jesus' brother. Could you imagine growing up being the brother of Jesus or the sister of Jesus? I mean, it was hard enough being the middle child. I couldn't imagine, you know, if my sister or my younger brother had been the Messiah. Now, my mom could imagine that I might have been that. No, she's in heaven. She knows better now. But Jude, the brother of Jesus, has a message for us. He said, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. If you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, he's talking to you. And he says, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. This morning as we were praying, I was just praying over you all and just praying that God would take this mercy, this grace, and just pour it out, that the Holy Spirit would be beating you up if you were in a hard-hearted place, and if you were in a hurt place, he would just pull it all together for you. That's what Jude's praying. He says, beloved, he's about to give a hard message. He's probably at the end of his life. And he says, beloved, Although I was eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people. Now listen to this. When he says they're ungodly people, they're godly in appearance, but they're ungodly people. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into sensuality. Our society tells us that we can ignore the rules that God has put into place, especially when it comes to sexuality, and expect that God's just going to look the other way. One day he's not going to look the other way. And for every time that we do that, there will be a payday someday. Those consequences may come in the flesh. It may come in a stress to the relationships that you're in. But more likely than not, it will come in the separation of your soul from God for eternity. It will come with your soul spending eternity in hell. And I believe this, that all of those desires, all of those evil things that are keeping you from Christ, you will have that with you for eternity. And you won't be able to do anything about it. If you struggle with pornography and sexual immoral thoughts, you will struggle with those the rest of eternity if you don't make it to heaven. If you struggle with not having enough money in your bank account, the rest of the eternity while you're burning, while you can't put the fire out, you're still going to want some more money. If you struggle in your relationships and the way that people look at you as you are constantly falling in hell, you're going to struggle with your relationships. You're going to wonder what other people think about you. And it's not going to matter because you're going to do this for eternity. He says, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward he destroyed those who did not believe. Listen to me, Crossroads Church. You will not go to heaven because you come to this church. You will only make it into heaven if you ask Jesus Christ to pay for your sins. There's no other way. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality, pursued unnatural desire. Hey, folks, you better pay attention. It's embarrassing that the world is standing up to the stupid stuff that's going on more than the church is. That not ought to be. We ought to be standing at the front of those lines. We ought to be the first ones at the school board complaining about the books that they want our children to read, that they won't let you read publicly because there's such obscenity in them. Pursued unnatural desire, serving as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. That's the example. That's what's coming to those who don't get this answered right. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain and abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished. You know what Balaam's error was? Balaam was a prophet, and he wanted, give me money, and I'll come and curse the Israelites. He had a form of godliness, but he denied the power thereof. He says, these are hidden reefs at your love feasts as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding among themselves. Now they're talking about leaders in the church. Waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead uprooted. Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones." In church, one day, Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth. I don't care what the podcast that you listen to tells you. This is what God's word says. God's word is true. This is what Jude, the brother of Jesus, he thought it was important enough to write this letter to the church at Jerusalem. To execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Church,